the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, July the 3rd, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. The Boise community responds to a horrific knife attack. Also on the rundown, only 4 months to go till the midterm elections, efforts underway to ensure all voters get to the polls. Plus, New York State asked to set a minimum level for chemicals in water. First, our top story, a federal judge ruled Monday that the Department of Homeland Security has violated its own policies by refusing to release most asylum seekers from immigration detention, even if they're likely to win their asylum case. USA Today reports a D.C. district judge ordered the department to stop making blanket determinations against most asylum seekers and resume the long-standing practice of deciding each applicant's detention status on a case-by-case basis. The judge pointed to data provided by the 9 plaintiffs who filed the lawsuit to show how dramatically detention determinations have changed under President Trump. Meantime, our Eric Tegedoff reports the community is showing up in support of the victims of a horrific mass stabbing in Boise that left one 3-year-old girl dead.
The knife attack happened on Saturday at the Wiley Street Station Apartments, which is home to many refugees. The Boise Police Department says there's no evidence the attack was motivated by hate. Fidel Nishambo is the Idaho representative for the Refugee Congress, a national advocacy group, and has been at the apartment complex since the attack. He says people in the complex are shaken because they have never had this type of experience in the United States.
Most of them, for the length of their time in the U.S. and since becoming part of this community in Boise, they've never seen something like this, as they've never seen any act of violence to a small community such as this.
Nishambo says it's important to note that this attack is not indicative of the vast majority of refugees' experience in Idaho either. Boise has a long history of resettling refugees. Police say the suspected attacker, Timothy Kenner of Los Angeles, carried out the stabbings after being kicked out of the apartments for his behavior. On Monday evening, Boise residents gathered at City Hall for a vigil.
The International Rescue Committee is gathering donations to support victims' families. The November elections are a pivotal time for the nation's future. A new effort is encouraging all Michiganders to make their voices heard. Here's Mary Sherman.
AARP Michigan is kicking off its Be the Difference campaign to engage more voters in the midterm election. Manager of Advocacy for AARP Michigan, Lisa Denden Cooper, says they'll be talking about key issues and educating voters about registration and absentee ballot information.
Say they're a family caregiver and they're not going to be able to get to the polls. We want them to know how they get an absent voter ballot. We want to make sure that people in Michigan are prepared and informed so that they are able to exercise their constitutional right to vote.
Besides Michigan's gubernatorial race, there are key legislative positions up for grabs, including all state House and Senate seats. Additionally, all 14 congressional seats are open for the state and one for U.S. Senator.
AARP volunteers will be out over the next 4 months elevating issues that matter to Michigan families, including Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and prescription drug costs. The risk of wildfires started by fireworks is higher than normal this 4th of July. That's because of the recent hot and dry weather. Suzanne Potter has our report.
Paul Rogers, a fire prevention specialist with the DNR, says dune grass may look green and healthy, but looks can be deceiving.
Dune grass will be very green, but the grass underneath will be very dry and will be the grass left from last year that hasn't decayed away yet that dries right away. And when we reach these kind of temperatures, even though the grass looks green, it will still burn.
Last year, a teenager in Oregon tossed fireworks into a canyon and started a 48,000-acre blaze. Last month, a Michigan resident using fireworks accidentally started a blaze at Tunnel Park in Holland near the site of a 2015 incident that destroyed a set of stairs going to the beach.
And finally, Andrea Sears tells us environmental, civic, and research groups are calling on New York State to set maximum levels of unregulated industrial chemicals in drinking water.
More than a dozen groups have signed on to a letter asking the Department of Health and the Drinking Water Quality Council to establish maximum contaminant levels for PFOA, used in making Teflon, and PFOS, used in firefighting foam. The chemicals associated with a number of cancers and other diseases have been showing up in drinking water around the state. According to Liz Moran with Environmental Advocates of New York, they're asking the state to set a combined limit for those two chemicals at 4 parts per trillion.
This is the level that would align with recent studies that show anything above 7 parts per trillion may be unsafe for public health.
The current federal guideline for PFOA and PFOS is 70 parts per trillion, but several states, including New Jersey and Vermont, are acting to set levels that are much lower. Moran says New York's Drinking Water Quality Council was set to take up maximum levels for the chemicals at a meeting in March, but that meeting was canceled and hasn't been rescheduled.
Time is really of the essence, because the longer people are exposed to unsafe levels to chemicals like PFOA and PFOS, the greater the likelihood that they could get sick.
The groups also are asking for maximum limits for 1,4-dioxane, a chemical found in detergents that's linked to liver and kidney disease and cancers. Legislation passed in the 2018 budget requires the Drinking Water Quality Council to set maximum limits for all three chemicals by the end of the year. Moran points out that such regulations make those limits legally enforceable.
Testing in the town of Hoosick Falls, northeast of Albany last year, found that PFOA concentration of 130,000 parts per trillion in at least one groundwater sample. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.